certainly want to thank you all for this wonderful conference and the privilege of being here. And thank you for that good food. I don't preach very well on an empty stomach, and I don't preach very good on a full stomach, so but I'll try, and you try to stay awake. 1 Samuel chapter 11, I want to speak about going to battle with a promise. Let me tell you a little story, a true story from our history, a sad story. In April of 1961, most of you weren't even around then, but some of us were, the Cuban freedom fighters, we might call them, they were the exiled Cubans, invaded the island of Cuba trying to overthrow that terrible dictator, Fidel Castro. And I wish they would have been successful. Yeah, yeah. John Kennedy, our president, promised them help from the Air Force. And they committed themselves to battle. And what did Mr. Kennedy do? He reneged on his promise. And he didn't back them up. And they fell in the hands of the Castro soldiers. And I'm sure many of them were killed and imprisoned. And you know the rest of the story. They're still a communist country. But anyhow, they went to battle with a promise. Now, you are going to make a promise, I hope you will, on Sunday, concerning what you're going to do for missions financially. And, of course, that means praying for your missionaries as well. And I hope right now that you're praying about it and considering it and asking God, what do you want me to give? And so you're going to make a promise. And this is, I want to illustrate this with a story from the Word of God tonight. And so let's go to the scriptures here in 1 Samuel chapter 11, beginning of verse 1. Now Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. That was prohibited by the word of God in Exodus chapter 23. God said, you aren't to do that. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And that's a reproach on the God of Israel. And then the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. And then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all of the people wept, or lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd. He was the king. He had been anointed, but hardly anybody knew about it. And he's still taking the animals out into pasture, something that our people in Mexico that we worked with, the little girls would do that. So he came out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and when he heard these tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly, and he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of the messenger, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he had numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000 men, and 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. You better believe they were. Maybe there's hope. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow, now they said this to the Ammonites, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and you shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. Well, they didn't tell them the whole story, did they? They said, we will come out to you. They didn't tell them there'd be 330,000 men behind them to aid them. And then, and it was so that on the morrow that Saul's put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Saul, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in that we may put them to death. We won't read farther, but Saul said, no, you're not gonna retaliate against my enemy. So here we find the men of Jabesh. They were on the eastern side of the Jordan, the tribe of Gad. They were very close to the Ammonites and very far from their brethren in Israel. They were in a dangerous place and they needed help. Well, let's compare that to the missionaries. The missionaries are asking for help. They're willing to go to the battle, so to speak, and represent us and preach the gospel, which we are commanded as a church to do. And they're going for us as our deputies. And so here comes Saul, and well, the people of Israel, they in Gibeah, they got real emotional about it, and they were very concerned. Now, the difference is, people can see a need, and they'll say somebody ought to do something about this. But a leader will come in and he sees the need and he said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And that we need leadership. We need leadership in missions to move things forward. Thank God for men like your pastor and many others that are involved in this ministry. We need men like that to promote missions and to help us and to motivate us and to organize us. And so the people promised to respond. Now, Saul gave them a little incentive, didn't he? He cut up that yoke of oxen. That's pretty drastic, but he was serious. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He did that under the direction of the Spirit. I wonder what the PETA people would think of that. Amen. You know, the people for the whatever it is, those people. So Saul made a decree, and the people responded. They said, you tell the men of Jabesh that tomorrow, before it gets hot, you will have help. We will back you up. You commit yourself to the battle, and we will be there. Praise the Lord. And that's what our churches do for us as missionaries. And so the men of Jabesh, they went out and they told the Ammonites, okay, we're coming out to meet you tomorrow. And they did. Now, I've got a question here. What if Saul would have done to the men of Jabesh-Gilead what John Kennedy did to those Cuban men that were willing to risk their lives to save their country. What if he would have reneged on his promise? What if he would have said, well, you know, I've got all these men and I need a palace. I'm a king. They could bring the materials. They could do the work. Or maybe we need a highway. I've always wanted a highway to go from one end to the other. And maybe we could, you know, missions has got to be, the leadership has to, and I'm not talking about just the pastor, but the leaders of the church, they need to make sure that what is given to mission goes to missions, and it's never misdirected or mishandled. That's important. You as church members need to trust the leadership and the decisions into when it comes to this, and you deserve that. You deserve that. You're not blindly trusting. You know the men that are leading you in the area of missions. Well, so we know that it turned out pretty well. But what I want to just emphasize here is these people went to battle with a promise. There were some promises made. First of all, Saul promised the men of Jabesh-Gilead that they would have help. How could he do that? He counted the faith promise cards. I mean, he counted the soldiers. The people made a promise to Saul. Based on their promise, he made a promise to the men of Jabesh, and then they were able to fulfill that promise. So, and then of course the men of Jabesh made a promise to the Ammonites. You know, the missionary makes a promise to those people. He comes there and he said, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, how you can know him, how you can be saved from your sins. He's promising them a message. And he needs to be able to deliver that message. He needs to be able to stay there and be effective. And we talked about that this morning a little more. But so I'm talking about fulfilling your promise. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he's talking about a faith promise offering. And he said, now perform the doing of it. He said there was a willingness a year ago. You were willing. You were emotional. You wanted to get involved. You promised. Now fulfill your promise. And that's what it's all about. And so we have these promises that were made. Well, 39 years later, Saul had messed up. He had disobeyed God, and he was judged, and he was killed in battle. The Philistines took his body and mutilated it and dishonored it and they hung it up on the wall. And the men of Jabesh, the brave men of Jabesh, traveled all night, and they rescued that body of Saul and I believe of his sons. They took him back to Jabesh, and they mourned, and they gave him a good burial, and they showed their gratitude. There'll be one day in heaven, I believe this, when people will say to you of Town East Baptist Church, thank you for sending us a missionary. Thank you. But the story doesn't end there. David, when he became king, he honored the men of Jabesh-Gilead. David the king, who is a type of Jesus Christ, recognized what they had done. And of course, they couldn't have done that without the people of Israel. And then, of course, the application is one day, Jesus Christ, we're going to stand before him and we're hopefully hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So the message is make a promise according to the will of God and then just faithfully fulfill that promise. And I'll guarantee you that missionaries are going to go farther and get places where they've never been before, and that's what it's all about. Thank you, and God bless you. Brother.